up holy hands.
Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, let's magnify His name.
Into this house.
Hallelujah.
Yes, we have come into His house. We're gathered in His name to worship Him. Yes, we have come into this house and gathered His name to worship Him. Yes, we have come into His house.
Hallelujah.
We're gathered in His name to worship Christ our Lord. Let us worship Christ our Lord.
Amen. Sister Ramona, God bless you.
I'm so thankful to be here tonight. I'm so thankful to know who I am and what we're here for. And I'm just so grateful for the power of the spoken word.
Yes.
I'm thankful for, you know, what we know as far as bringing the scriptures out and standing on them, you know, and I just want to give a praise report. Ted said I could share a little bit of information, but you know what's been going on is one of our daughters is going through a really messy divorce and custody case, and it's been really bad. But you know, God has made a way every time.
Amen.
Everything that we've went through, every battle, He's made that way. And you know, He took her away from us. We hadn't talked to her in 5 years. And, you know, it was just really bad. She called me out of the blue and said, Mom, I need you. She said, I'm sorry for everything. And she said, I need you. And it's gotten really bad. So, of course, you know, we said, honey, what do you need? You know, forgiveness needed. You know, we knew it was all him.
Right.
Well, he had went off the deep end. As soon as he cut off, you know, all communications, he just went crazy. And he spent like a week in the mental institution. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But you know, we've got a lawyer, you know, she got led to a good lawyer. He's really wonderful and things like this, because he's fighting. He's trying to, discredit her, to say that she's the crazy one, and he's really good at manipulating. And it's really, you know, battling her. And, you know, we just all, you know, rallied around her. And, you know, I keep telling her, the Lord just kept giving me this message, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I kept telling her that. And I said, that's just what God keeps telling me. So I said, I'm going to look that up and see what the full scripture is. And I said, it's Isaiah 54:17. It says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn.
Amen.
This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. Yes. And I said, that is absolutely the truth, because every single time God has shot him down, and he's the one that's lost, you know. Amen. I mean, he's done so many crazy things, but, you know, I am just so grateful to know, you know, that God is in control of all this, and he has blessed us every step of the way. So I just wanted to share that.
Let's sing that song, No Weapon. No weapon, the key of G. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
Yes.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word, and he will come through. I know God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word, he will come through.
God bless you.
God bless you, buddy.
God bless you.
Amen.
So good to see you all.
Amen.
And it's Sister Diane said it wherever she is. It's good to be home, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And there's nowhere else I would want to be if I'm in town is here. And the song says it all. You know, he will stand by his word, but I'm standing by his word, too. There was so much said, of course, while I'm away. but I really hate that I missed the weekend, but I am thankful that I was able to listen over the internet It is not the same as being here. It is. It made me flash back to Maryland, because I listened for over 20 years out there, and I knew I was just counting down the days to get here. But it was a lot said over the weekend, but Pastor Moore, when you went back and just told us why we are non-denominated.
Right.
I heard it before. I've heard it before, but it just rang so true.
Amen.
More true this time, and I know it's Him revelating me on what I know, and it's just brushing it off and saying, this is why.
Amen.
And I had an opportunity, it was kind of funny, on vacation, because we were around, you know, in Rome. Okay, so it's really a lot of history there, and the conversation in the group began to talk about God and church. And I just sat there and I was listening, and someone finally said something that I could step in on. And they said something about the seals, the seven seals. And I said, but do you know those seven seals are open? They have been loosed. And it was like crickets.
Right, like, open.
Okay, I'm not going to say I'm not going to say anymore. But I love the fact that, because I sat there and I prayed. I said, God, if it's an opportunity for me to express you tonight, just open that
door.
I'm not going to step out on what I think I know. If you want me to say something, then I will. And I'll tell you what, that worked.
Amen.
And they said, yes, I know, but they don't know what I know.
Right.
And I'm so glad I know. I'm so glad to be back home, and it's so good to see you all. You really made me feel like you missed me.
Amen.
I love you. Thank
I love you.
Amen.
We did miss you, Sister Mel. It's good to see you. Real quick announcements here. We got Brother Norrod going to be preaching us tonight.
Yes.
Looking forward to hearing him.
Amen.
Hey, we've announced it for a couple weeks, brother, so we're looking forward to hearing you. So you're coming to a group of hungry eagles. And then, so we just as far as announcements are concerned, tomorrow there is no musicians practice. But on September the 22nd, we have Church Pitcher and Brother Tony Ogiervisa will be here. And then October the 1st, make sure you got your stuff in for South Carolina. October the 4th is the bonfire. October the 16th, 17th, we're headed out to South Carolina. Then Thanksgiving and New Year, I guess. This is the end of the year. So it's rolling fast. So always keep these things. Put them in your phones to remind yourself. All those things. I want to sing a song, We Fall Down, key of G. Key of G. It's a beautiful song. And I'm looking forward to everything. Let's sing this song here.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet.
Cry.
is the Lamb.
Amen. Brother Isaiah, you sing your song.
Let's do it.
Come on up.
Yes.
Who do you want me to?
Come on. What do you need, Brother David? Let us know what you want.
We can move it anywhere you want.
Sing this song a lot, but I love the song, and it goes right along with the hour we're living in and things that are going on. And I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me all my life. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
The goodness of God. Just want to God bless the testimonies, and we'll sing Welcome Holy Spirit, key of D. We'll get them up. God bless you. Wrong Holy Spirit. Welcome Holy Spirit. I'll start it off. Welcome Holy Spirit. Oh, we are in your presence. Fill us with your power, Lord. Live inside of me. We'll sing that again. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Oh, we are in your presence. Fill us with your power, Lord. Live inside of me. You're the living water, the never drying fountain, comforter and counselor. Just take complete control. If you could, 'cause you're the living water, the never drying fountain, comforter and counselor. Oh, just take complete control. Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit. Oh, we are in your presence. Fill us with your power. Inside of me. Amen. Brother Nora.
Live inside of me.
Can we raise our hands and sing it once again?
Oh, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Jesus. We are in your presence. Amen. Fill us with your power. Just live. alive inside of me. Amen. Amen and amen and praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. You may be seated. Amen. So happy to be here. Just want to say thank you, Brother Nate. Nice to see you tonight and all of the church body for allowing us to come by and receiving us. It's a real privilege to get here. I'm just passing through, just briefly passing through. And, you know, just got a night or two here and then heading back up. And just seemed like a few weeks ago, the Lord just kept putting it on my heart, putting it on my heart, putting it on my heart to come by the tabernacle here. And so I said, well, the pastor leaves an open door for you. You know, I don't mind sending him a message or calling him or contacting him or something, but I still feel so bad about it. Sometimes I think, well, in 33 years of preaching, I never invited myself nowhere. I've always just let the Lord just open the doors and put me where He wants me to go. And, you know, I always feel bad taking a man out of his pulpit, but I got to thinking about the services we've had here together, and the more I thought about it, I could feel goosebumps going up my back, and I got more excited, and I thought, well, I'm going to call Brother Nate. This is all there is to it. Amen. And amen. And just get right into the thing. And I know, I feel like the Lord is behind it. And it's been strange this way coming in through here. I can just feel somehow Satan does not like the idea of us being gathered here together like this tonight. I've absolutely seen little funny, odd things for the last day or so. Just little things happening here and there. And I thought, ooh, Satan, you don't like the idea of me going by and seeing them folks, do you? But we're here anyways by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. And can you say praise the Lord tonight? I believe with all my heart we are in the presence of God. I have a special treat for you tonight. My middle daughter, Annalise, she just turned 15. She just got her driver's permit. And so we've had to move all of the lawn ornaments back off the sidewalks and, you know, and warn all the local neighbors and things. And, on top of, you know, being the most beautiful girl in Tennessee, or one of, I should say, I got a few other daughters and my wife, of course, but, but she is a singing machine. And you have yet to get a chance to hear her sing. And so we say down to say, I'm going to turn her loose. Amen. let her sing. Amen. And so come if you will, Annalise. Amen. We're going to sing a little bit and then get right into the preaching world. I'm going to let Mama come sing with me too. And my terminology ain't good. Let Mom sing with me. Amen. I'm going to sing with Mama. Amen. That's the way that goes. Amen. And that's just my old crazy terminology way I talk. I don't even mean to say it the way it sounded. But anyways, we like that she's here. And so appreciate that she's here. Appreciate my Mama. And I most definitely would not be who I am today without that fifth gospel sitting back there. And I'm so grateful. 88 years old and still going on. Amen. Amen. And so we appreciate the Lord. Enjoyed Brother David singing as always. He's just an anointed person and we like to hear it. And so glad that he gets to come in these services. It's good to see. Amen. Gary and Brother Larry. And I was looking around to see if there's any other. Amen. Amen. God bless you. That's right. And I think maybe just a couple here tonight that's coming in to visit. I think mostly home folk, best I can tell. Amen. And that includes me. Now, hey, you started to skip on past that about that home folk, but I'm going to remind you of that now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I may have left Fairborn, but Fairborn didn't leave me. You understand that, don't you?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, anyways, we're going to get right into sing two or three songs. It'll be all right, if you don't mind. And then get right in the preaching. Enjoyed all the testimonies, all the singing, all the music. Everything's just been wonderful and lovely. I always love coming and feeling the worship of this little church, these little group of believers in here. I just love to see you standing and worshiping God. And it just makes me feel good. Amen. I like that so much. And so we sure love the Lord tonight and appreciate God's grace to us. And if there's anything that I could say, the Lord has been good to me.
Amen.
And I can say, amen, if there's ever a disagreement anywhere at all, it's probably on that thing. He's been better to me than He's been to y'all. That's where we would disagree right there. That would be a battle right there, because I guarantee you, I would take you to the tooth right there on that one. Amen. He's been better to me than all of y'all. So we thank the Lord. And you pray for us now. We got so much on the schedule for the rest of the year. And just, you know, and I need your prayers. I need your prayers. We've got places I'm going into that brand new spots. I just come from a camp in Michigan up there, and some of those folks, you know, they're coming out of little doctrines and things, you know, the return ministry stuff and a lot of those kind of things like that. And the Lord sends us right in there. And, you know, good, solid, honest, lovely people. But just like I preached to you the last time here, like that Corinthian bunch, they just didn't have any kind of preaching at all to lead them any direction, teach them anything in the Word. And, you know, and so the pastor up there, he's a newly elected pastor. He's been working the people into the revelation of where we are now. And so you go up there and be coming from years ago from Middletown and how it was believed out there many years ago, you know, and I know how those things go, and I know what they sound like and the little terminologies we use, and you know, you recognize all of that stuff when you've been around it. And to see the Holy Spirit in that youth camp, you know, just each night, some of the parents now, they were kicking with everything they had in them. But every night, in every meeting, the young people were crying out to God down at the altar, asking the Lord for a filling of the Holy Ghost, amen, and for the new birth. And so, you know, we see things like that. So you pray and ask the Lord, wherever God may take us, that let your prayers just follow me around in those meetings, and you put it before the Lord and ask God to continue to do great things in those environments like that. Because whether we realize this or not, denominational spirits are encamped around the people of this message like we have never seen before. And it's getting worse and worse and worse every year. You see that Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian type attitude. You see that amongst the people that are supposed to believe to be free from all of that. And yet here we stand tonight looking right in the face of many of those things. And as an evangelist, I got to go on there with a two-edged sword. Sometimes wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and sometimes harmless as a serpent. And you know, maybe the other way around sometimes, you know. You gotta bite every now and then to get in there, you know. And so... But anyways, we appreciate the Lord in these things. And so you pray for us and God will help us. And I think at the beginning of the year, God willing, there's two or three places overseas. I've put it in my heart. I don't think I'm going overseas this year. I was going to try in the next few months to go possibly India and a few places and preach. But I think I'm going to hold off. I'm just feeling led to stay close to home. And at the beginning of the year, India, Uganda, just all over the place. And you just pray. And I'm asking you because I got confidence that Jesus hears your prayers. And that's the only thing I'm going to ask you for. You understand what I mean? And I'm not making secret plugs or, you know, underneath the wire kind of statements. I want to do the will of the Lord. And I need God's people helping me by prayer and supporting me that way. And so it really means a lot. And so we love you. God bless you. Thank you again, brother. I just feel so honored to be able to stand right here again tonight. It just means the world to me, and I appreciate the Lord. And so we're going to sing a little bit and then get right into the preaching of the Word of the Lord. And I hope you come hungry tonight.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you, with Jeremiah and Nate and these boys sitting around here, I feel little trying to preach. These guys are real preachers now. I mean, y'all wouldn't be sitting here if they couldn't bring something. I mean, these guys can flat preach. And, you know, and I'm honored to be a part of this. And, Brother Larry back there, you ever hear him preach? He preach up a storm now. He don't play around. He gets down to business. I feel little being numbered with brethren, but I also feel honored to be shoulder to shoulder with you, brothers. And I trust the Lord to just let us always stay in that kind of sweetness like that and, you know, and just work together, right, for the kingdom of God. And we love that. And so God bless you very much. And now, just from my own heart, my own peace of mind, y'all ain't no hurry tonight, right? All right, good. So, you know, I know that I got a little long-winded on a few occasions, but listen, I knew the guy that used to be here, Earl Childers. I know you used to all of that, amen? And I say this wrong, God forgive me and you forgive me, but I knew Earl Childers, amen? So I know how Brother Earl was, and I remember many, many a night as a kid just passed out back on them pews back there, you know, and plumbing to midnight and going on, you know, and things like that, you know. And so I understand y'all got some good preaching bones. You can handle some long-winded sermons, and so that's good. Now, I don't know how Nate and his brothers do, and, you know, whether they got that kind of ministry about them or not, but, you know, I think sometimes, and I don't mean this like it's a something we have to do, but I think sometimes we get in a little bit too hurry on things. Even on Wednesday nights, I know we got school and things coming up, but you know, really, the Lord should be the first priority of everything we do.
Amen.
And I've lost count of the times that you go in and maybe it'd be a midweek service like that, and just take your time and follow the Lord and obey the Lord. And what you'd think, you'd be so exhausted you couldn't hold your eyes open, somehow you got that punch of strength that next morning. It's like it didn't even, like you had 12 hours sleep, you know what I mean? And the Lord just knows how to keep you refreshed like that. And as long as it's under the anointing, it'll never be a problem.
Amen.
My daddy used to say, you got to be anointed and know when to stop. And that's the truth of it. Amen. Once you follow the Lord, He takes you all the directions you need to go. So, it's lovely to talk to you. I know I could keep it up here for another 20 minutes like this, but I just wanted to talk to you just a minute and express my heart to you. And then, if we get into this preaching, I won't be able to say these things. Amen. But we love you and appreciate you. And you know, some of the hard preaching, I hope you still love me after some of this. When they said, Brother Norod, I hope you didn't scrunch your toes in your shoes and go, oh, that guy again. I hope you was a little excited about it. And I hope I can be a blessing to you like that. And so, I'm going to have my daughter come, and we're going to sing a song or two, and then we're going to put Mama on the firing line. Yes, Annalise is her name. Annalise, she is Annalise Rebecca Norod. Anna and Elise, that's part of Elizabeth, so it's Anna and Elizabeth put together. It's a German name. I'm sorry about that. I repent ahead of time. Amen. Amen. My wife is half German and Irish on the other side. Y'all going to pray harder for me now after hearing that, ain't you? All right, baby. Come on. She's 15. We are not taking applications, by the way. I'm just letting you know.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship your
help us worship.
Worship your holy name. Worship your holy name.
Praise the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. What a time to be able to worship God. Can you say amen to that? How wonderful the Lord Jesus is to us. He's so good. He is so good to us. And I'm so glad to be a Christian tonight. And I'm so glad to be full of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you?
Amen.
So we just love the Lord so very much.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, I was running out of time. Sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious life. Took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious life. Nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The blood calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood. Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious
worship the Lord. You'll probably remember this one. Key of G for Jesus. Well, my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on and on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
What's that second verse? It's glittering.
Glittering towers, the sun outshine. I feel traveling on, and heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on.
Well, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Heavenly home is bright and fair.
I feel like traveling on.
I like this. Let others see a home below. I feel like traveling on. Heavenly bound and waves overflow. Well, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling, traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling.
You sing the lady.
Lord has been so good to me. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling, traveling. I feel like traveling, traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling.
Wait one time, sis.
Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling, traveling on. Heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel traveling on. Oh yes, my heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling, traveling on.
Stand together, let's get right into the word of the Lord.
Amen and amen. I sure enjoy good music like that, don't you? Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you put the 3-hour batteries in there? 4-hour, right?
6-hour.
That's more like it. Amen, that's more like it. All right, if you got your Bible this evening, we're going to go to a couple places in the Scripture. And just some quick readings, amen, before we get right into the meat of the message this evening. And so I want to start, God helping us. I got so many little places. If the Lord would just help me be able to get it all in tonight, I think it'd be a blessing. St. John chapter 21, we're going to go to verse 24 first. Amen. And then we're going to look at just a couple. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read just a verse or two there. I'll just use that to kind of set a, as my pastor back home says, a backdrop, he calls it, into the message. St. John 21 and verse 24. I guarantee you one thing, looking around this church tonight, I am most certainly overdressed. I'm shedding this thing. Amen. Something I like is y'all are home folks. I can handle that. I can live with that one. Amen. That's not a problem at all. Amen. St. John chapter 21, verse 24. Let's look now. Jesus said, "This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." And then he says, amen. Right. 2 Timothy now. Let's pick up verse chapter 3, and then let's pick up verse 16. And I want to look at verse 16 and verse 17, the Lord willing. And we're going to take a little thought on this, just the Lord helping us to look at a couple things that I think will be relevant and helpful for us in this day we're living. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and verse 17. All Scripture. Everybody say all Scripture.
All Scripture.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now I want to read to you from the Church Age book. Brother Bram says, "Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book." Let's pray together over the word. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come into this place called your house. We know, Lord Jesus, that the true house of God is the human heart, that you dwell in this body of time. But Lord Jesus, as we gather into this physical place of worship, we're asking that your presence will come and abide with us tonight. That, Lord, not only will you guide us and direct us and give us of your favor and your grace, but that you'll anoint every word that's going to be spoken here tonight. May it be fitly spoken as you would be pleased. Anoint me tonight that I speak only that which you would want me to say. And anoint their hearts that they might be receptive of the word of God, that they can receive into their life those things that are most needful for them, their families, and for their walk with God. And Lord, may you purify our minds and our hearts tonight. Let us be able to set aside all of the busyness of the week and the day. May we just lay ourselves into this rapturing grace that's already beginning to catch us, the revelation of the time of the hour we're living. And Father, we know that time shall be no more, and our bodies one day will be changed from this mortal to immortality. But Lord, while we sit here in this mortal, tired, weary from the day, and perhaps traveling and working and what more, move that aside, Lord Jesus, and strengthen us and give us a real powerful surge of alertness and attention to the Word of God. And let our pull be strong upon you and your Spirit, that you can come by your divine gifts and speak to us in the name of the Lord Jesus as we ask these things. Amen and amen and amen. I bless you, saints. You may be seated. Amen. Sure appreciate God's grace and mercy to us. And I, if I was going to title this tonight, I want to use for a little thought. And I know this might sound almost like a rebuking thing in the beginning, but I'm not meaning it to sound that way. I want to say it in a way to identify where we're at, which is I want to title this "The Lacking of Inspiration." And I think that if we could really look at this in the proper way, and when I say in the proper way, I mean to look at it in a way that is fitting to the revelation that's been given to us today. I think we'd be honest with ourselves and honest with where we are and the churches around the message and the people that we understand, we rub shoulders with, and how they think and how they behave and what more. Amen. Everywhere you look, even in Hollywood, you know, they can't hardly make a good movie for nobody no more. They got to remake all the original ones. And, you know, I forget how many Finding Nemos there are now and how many Ice Ages and these little Disney things and all of the ones they got to put them out. And you wonder why that is. And a lot of it is because people have just absolutely run out of inspiration. They can't hardly get a new thought anywhere. Amen. And they can't hardly come up with anything that's inspirational at all. And so they work toward being just this, you know, regurgitation and copycat. And I'm going to use a word that you'll recognize from the message and from Brother Branham, manufactured version of something. Amen. And I want you to remember, and I'm going to try by the help of the Lord to go a little deep in some doctrinal things tonight. Remember, an evangelist is allowed to reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. So I'm allowed to do a little doctrine. Amen. And as long as I stay right here in this Bible and the message, I don't think you'll have a problem with it. I know your pastor and his brothers that preach at home. Amen. And I know that if we look at it in the proper way, we know that the third pool, the seventh seal, and the opening of the Word of God to you and I, amen, is supposed to put forth an elect bride, an elect people, amen, that won't be a manufactured bunch. Amen. And we see so much of that in this day and age. We see people, amen, and I'm not against this. I know that we have to draw our inspirations from other folks. Amen. Musicians, for example, they listen to other musicians and learn how to play and take their little chops and licks and whatever they do, and they copycat it for a period of time. Amen. But manufacturing is not when you're trying to learn how to be a Christian and you're watching other Christians and what they do. Amen. But it's when God has revealed to you who you are. Amen. And where you stand, but yet you still follow after the influence or the impression of someone else rather than being what God made you individually. Amen. Taking an adopted baby route, so to speak, is all right for a period of time. Amen. Like the prophet talked about that woman that couldn't have confidence to have a baby. Amen. And they advised her to adopt a child for a while. Amen. And she did. It gave her confidence that she could be a mother. And within no time, amen, she was able to conceive herself. Amen. It's all right if we take an adopted baby route till we learn, till we get on our feet, till we figure out how things work and what God would use us for and what our calling in life might be. Amen. But after God has shown us where we stand, amen, we need to leave them old things behind. As Paul said, let us go unto perfection. Amen. And this other thing, we'll do it if God permit. Amen. Sometimes we don't want to throw the baby and the bathwater out. Amen. Don't forget the old landmarks, they still hold true for us. Amen. But we don't want to just go back and go back and go back and go back. That ain't nothing but a frog spirit always looking behind it. Amen. But we always want to continue moving forward. Amen. Remember them four living creatures. They were always the wheels in motion moving forward. Amen. Never backwards. Never standing still. Come on, somebody. But always moving in the direction, amen, of the momentum of the power and the revelation of the hour. Amen. And if we are walking in the life as He is in the life, amen, not only does the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but we have fellowship moving forward one with another in the revelation of the day. Amen. Don't forget that the revelation of this hour, amen, is a continuation of what was established in the beginning. Amen. Paul brought the message of the hour. Amen. Coming from that time with Israel over here, amen, under the law, he provided a bridge into this New Testament. Amen. Somebody said to me one time, well, you know, how do we know what's right? And how do we know what's true? And how do we know how we're supposed to live and things like that? Are we supposed to go back to the Old Testament and do the Old Testament things? I said, listen, what you have to understand is that the Apostle Paul, amen, knew by revelation of the Lord that many of those things that started with Israel back there, amen, was under the permissive will of God. Listen to me close. Amen. There was many of those things, amen, like the Ten Commandments, for example. The Ten Commandments were not the perfect will of God. Amen. Brother Branham told us in trying to do God a service, they were the permissive will of God. Amen. We'll just go back and look at it in Exodus chapter 20. They were the ones that cried out, give us a law. Give us something that we could follow. Amen. God's way was going to be a prophet, a pillar of fire, amen, water in the desert, and grace would follow them all the days of their life. But they wanted something they could do, Brother Jeremiah. They wanted their hands into the cooking. They wanted to be able to call the ball. They wanted to be able to say what goes and how things work and how things operate. Amen. Then after Jesus comes, amen, Israel was so steeped in that mess like that, amen, that not even God himself in human flesh could pull them out of it. Stood right there looking at that religious bunch, Brother Moore, amen. They were so steeped in all these traditions and things that not even the righteous, pure, virgin-born Son of God could even get into their world. He couldn't even put his foot into their sphere of influence. Imagine what it must have been like for the Lord Jesus, knowing the very end from the beginning nearly. Amen. Because remember, the prophet said he came to his theophany first. Amen. If you don't understand that, simply put, Jesus didn't come by sex desire. Amen. He was with God before the foundation of the world. Amen. In the mind of God. He was the Lamb slain. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. So he didn't come through this channel of time. Amen. So everything that was permitted for him to know, amen, he didn't get the spiritual amnesia that you and I got. We came to this world, we didn't even know who we were. We didn't know where we came from. We didn't know where we stood. And many people even today are ashamed to say 60-some years later after the prophet's departure still don't know where they stand. What a shame that we don't know no better than what we know. But that's the hour we're living in. Steeped in tradition. Steeped in permissive will. Steeped in everything except for what God really wants out of their lives. Amen. And Paul came to establish for the people, amen, not that which was permissive by God, but that which was perfect by God. Amen. These arguments about whether you put polyester and mix it with your clothes and whether you eat hog and things like that, amen, all of that was under the permissive will of Almighty God. If Paul didn't carry it over, God was done with it. He was the filter for the New Testament. If you want to know what God thought about it, just go talk to Paul for a little while. Amen. Therefore, he never told us not to, amen, pay tithes or give offerings. He never changed that. Amen. Go back and look at a scripture where he said, amen, that women are to keep silent and so forth in business meetings and can't preach and what more like that. He said, and so says the law. I'll challenge you to go find where the law even spoke about it. It didn't. But the silence of the law, the fact that God never gave a woman permission to lead the church as a preacher, to be a deaconess, God never intended for her to have such a role. Why? She was in the original fall. Amen. Now, brothers, that doesn't make her a punching bag or a doormat. It just means she has a different position than what God made you. Amen. She's not inferior. Get that out of your mind. The Bible didn't say she was an inferior vessel. It said she was a weaker vessel. Amen. That doesn't mean that she's inferior. Sister, I'm taking up for you tonight. Brother, you just have to hold your conscience in your pocket a minute. Amen. But I personally get so sick and tired of seeing these male chauvinist women bashers in our pulpits, amen, putting the women like dirt underneath their feet. Let me tell you something, big boy. Women can be more spiritual than you at times. And if you had any brains at all, you'd shut up and listen every now and then. She can have revelation. She can understand every mystery of God. Amen. She don't need somebody, amen, to break it down and talk baby talk with her. She can talk it right with you, amen, because revelation doesn't come through the channel of the intellectual mind. It comes by divinely revealed inspiration which is what I'm going to talk about. The Lord help me. Amen. Inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That bypasses mind, memory, conscience, affection, all the rest of it, and goes right directly into the soul where we receive new birth.
Amen.
In other words, a soul change where the old man has to die. I don't care what you call it. Call it an old soul, an old nature. Call it an old dog. I don't care what you call it. Just put it dead. Make it dead and let Christ be formed in you. Amen. Call it the old man, whatever you want to call it. It's up to you. But just let him be dead. Amen. That's what will bring on the newness of Christ and the fullness of joy thereof. You look at the way God designed it. He put it in such a pattern that whenever the Word was established for the New Testament, the works that a person would do would not be the way or the pathway to understanding the will of God. I want you to think about that for a moment. In order for the people to hear from God, a prophet had to go get way up yonder in a mountain somewhere and hear, "Thus saith the Lord." Then that prophet would bring them the message. And then those people, in order to receive it and live it, had to place it in their life by works. That's what the permissive will of God will do to you. And I'm telling you right now, if in your mind you think, "Well, I'll please God by my works," you please God by faith.
Yeah.
Amen. And if your faith is pure, now listen close, if your faith is pure and your faith is right, it will produce holiness out of you.
Amen.
You don't have to beat people to make them live holy. Just let them really fall in love with Jesus. I mean really fall in love with Jesus. And they'll stop doing the things of the world. They'll stop living like in the hell dives and the hell pits of the world if they really fall in love with the Lord God. Amen. But the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, amen, has been lacking in the age we're living because we have returned back to a church that is still living under that man anointing. Remember, the elect of God are not under that man age anymore. We have progressed into not just an eagle, folks, but into a flying eagle. In other words, no more earthbound, coming up out of the church ages, no longer attached to church age teachings. Amen. But now we are soaring in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And if we are truly living in the presence of God, it'll make us live holy like we're supposed to. I get exhausted, brother, sister, and I don't mean to sound like I'm complaining, but I'm just sharing my burden with you. I get exhausted with the people of this message that are still living in glares and shadows of things 40 years ago. I mean, forgive me, I know we still have to preach things from time to time, but my God, if we don't know God sent a prophet by now, we're in trouble. And if we don't know the bride is the bride and what she's supposed to be and what she's supposed to do, I mean, how many times in a service do I have to say, "You're the bride, you're the elect," before you should know that already. Amen. But this is a time where what we need is the inspiration of God to place within our heart the ability to say, "Yes, I'm bride. Yes, we've received a message. But now I know how to be pleasing to the Lord." With that inspiration, then we know how to live. We how to work, how to talk, how to act, how to behave, how to do what God is pleased with in our life. I know for a fact that if you really dig into the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the right way, you will learn things from Him that you don't even find in the Bible. I don't mean you'll get out of the book. I don't mean you'll be contrary to it. But the inspiration of God will lead you to things and places that you're going to have wrote down. Would you like me to give you a little example of that? Amen. Mark 11 and 24, whatsoever you say. Brother Branham is out walking through Sportsman Hall in Kentucky and he's meditating on this scripture. And the Spirit of God says, "Say it what you want." There is not a scripture in the Bible that said, "William Branham will speak, thus saith the Lord, this squirrel will do that, and that squirrel will do that." But the inspiration of God took him right down the pathway,
amen,
and he spoke it out and said, there he was sitting up on the fence looking back at me just like I told him.
Amen.
He said, "I said it ridiculous just to prove it was the Lord."
Amen.
That's what inspiration will do for us. You want to know one reason why these pews are empty? Lack of inspiration. People just don't have the feeling to come to church no more. In their mind, they can be better off streaming somebody or sitting at home doing nothing or listening to a tape or some other kind of foolishness like that. Because it is. When you've got a good church home, it's foolish to stay at home. It's foolish to push play and obey when you should be right here. God looks at it as though they don't even count in the eyes of God if you're going to pull it that way. That's about like me taking you to the river and shoving you under the water and saying, "I baptize you." That's it. Just, "I baptize you," walking away. God might say, no, you got a little bit do a little bit more than that. You got to go a little bit further than that. You got to call the name of the Lord Jesus over them in baptism. Amen. It's not enough just to say, well, I love the Lord and I want to be a Christian. If you do, then there's got to be an inspiration behind that. I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. Amen. I hope you're getting it in your heart and receiving it deep in your heart. That's what we've been lacking for the last 40 years. It used to be we had so much inspiration when we come to church. We walked in the back doors of our assemblies and we were inspired about what God might do in the service. Now, I don't mean this directly for you folks, but I mean in general. People have lost that feeling of what can God do that's not necessarily wrote 1, 2, 3, 4 on the list. Woo, come on somebody. Amen. God can do anything He wants to. I know there's an order and everything should be done decently in order. I get that. Amen. And God's not going to create chaos. Amen. But we should become a people of inspiration. Amen. Hallelujah. We should be so inspired with the things of God. Amen. That every time we come to the house of God, we should be waiting to see what's the Lord going to do that we've never even thought of before. Amen. Stay with me a little while. Amen. And what I want you to understand is God doesn't want us to be so cabbaged down in message theology that it's got to go just exactly the way we think it ought to go. You get these kind of type A personalities in the church, especially the ones that ain't born again. And I mean, the least little thing gets out of the way, it tears the whole service up for them. They can't even get nothing out of church. You mean that guy going to preach longer than 45 minutes? He went 45 minutes and 38 seconds. Oh my God, I couldn't hardly stand it. It just tears them all to pieces. But the real people of God are waiting on God to inspire them. Lord, what can you do with me if I'll just open my heart to be inspired by your truth? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at it again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. These men that brought us the Word, they didn't bring us the Word because they were just talking. They didn't just think of some good things to say along the way, but they were inspired by the Holy Ghost to speak. You take, for example, Isaiah. Brother Bram said that whenever Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive, he said, let's think. Isaiah might got a little embarrassed after speaking it. Why? Because that's not a normal thing to think. Any man, a grown man like him especially, would know better than that. But for God to say it like he did, it proves that it went beyond the thinking of a human being. Praise the Lord, somebody. It went beyond their own carnal understanding of the Word and of the things of life even. It didn't make Brother Bram much sense for Brother Bram to walk out and forgive everyone that had been under that misinterpreted theology of marriage and divorce. It didn't make any sense at all. The natural mind would have looked at that and said, well, that guy's been married 5 times. You mean you're going to forgive him? Brother Bram said to this is the people that follow my message. This is to my group, not to the outside world. Amen. But sinner or saint, a man is responsible, a woman is responsible for the things they get involved in. Amen. But he said, because of misinterpreted theology. Amen. That's what he told him on Finger Rock out there in Arizona. Go in as you are, but don't you do that thing again. Amen. Didn't make sense. Didn't make sense for Moses to give him a writing of divorcement. Didn't make sense for Paul to say, this is I, not the Lord. Didn't make sense for Jesus to go out there and take two little bits of mud and shove them in a man's eye sockets. Didn't make sense for him to go in there on the Sabbath day and eat when the Bible said, don't do it. But how did they do these things? Inspiration. The inspiration of the Holy Ghost has superseded all of the rule books. Let me tell you something right now. That's the way the rapture's going to be for you and I. It will break every rule of time. It will break every rule of chemistry. It will break every rule of gravity. And when my body changes, it will break every rule that's out there. I was born a rule breaker, and if God let me, I'll go out of here a rule breaker. Woo, glory! God's people have always been rule breakers. The world tries to cage them in. They just kick them things down. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen, Brother David. God knows how to place you in a spot to where you're so inspired. Some years ago, I was in Arizona. You remember the story, we was at the Harmony in the Desert event out there. Beautiful event, all the singing, the music, got to meet so many wonderful people. And Samantha and I was talking to some people one night, and I happened to mention, or someone did, the story about the boy that had these epileptic fits. And Brother Bram had told the sister, whenever the next time he has a fit, jerk his shirt off his body and throw it in the fire and say, "This I do in the name of Jesus Christ." And all of a sudden, this little tiny voice from behind us said, "Excuse me." And I looked around. There's this little lady about 4'8". Tiny, petite little thing. She looked like a 12-year-old. Not my 12-year-olds, by the way. My 12-year-olds are like this. But she looked like one of these little bitty 12-year-old girls like this. And she said, "That was my brother. I was the one on his back." I said, "Oh, sister, you need to sit down here and tell me that story." I said, "What was you thinking?" She said, "We did not understand why Brother Branham told us to do it. It didn't make sense." But she said, whenever he started going into a fit, she said, "I climbed on him like a banny rooster." Woo! She said, "I grabbed that thing." She said, "Look at me. I'm not very strong." But she said, "I grabbed that shirt and went, bum, 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 bum." She said, "I jerked that thing off him and threw it in the fire." She said, "I do this in the name of Jesus Christ." She said, "Stop right there on the spot." Inspiration. The inspiration of God will lead you to do crazy things.
Yes, it will.
You say, "No, it won't." Yes, it will. We're in the middle of a drought that a prophet shuts the heavens up. He goes to a widow woman that's starving to death. And the first thing that selfish little prophet said was, "Make me a cake first." You know what they would have done? www.themostselfishprophetintheworld.com. The politics and all those people, they would have got a hold of that with Elijah. They would have tore him up. Oh, but I like what Brother Bram said. He said she was testing her. Amen. To see if she'd put God first or not. Woo! Where'd that come from? The inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would lead him to say, "Bring me a cake first."
Amen.
And then out of nowhere, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, your cruse will never run dry and your barrel will never be empty." It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But there it is anyhow. It didn't make sense for God to work 6,000 years to put the church of the living God in order and then all of a sudden decide in the very last stage to give us magnetic tape. And anoint us to hear the words, "These tapes, thus saith the Lord, will be played in our homes for years to come after he's gone." And we still do it. Pack them with us. We put them in our pocket and our iPads and everything else in the world. Just exactly like you said. And when you try to share people what you believe, "Well, you know, where can I find this?" "Well, it's not on the internet. You can't find it on YouTube." "Well, where do you get it from?" "Well, we have this app that comes from these magnetic recordings." "You mean you just listen to this guy all day long?" "Sure." "Well, he's been dead." "Well, we know." It doesn't make sense. You mean to tell me you believe rapturing faith lays in that? Well, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. Hey, don't look at me so like with them big eyes like that. Because the Bible even said what I'm doing right now is called foolishness. But through the foolishness of preaching. God chose that, oh hallelujah, to confound, amen, amen, to confound the wisdom of the wise. Because it doesn't make sense. Me up here sweating and slobbering and spitting and screaming and jumping around, carrying on. People are like, "What in the world's the matter with them people?" Hollering and clapping their hands and amen and praising the Lord.
Amen.
It's foolishness to the world.
Amen.
But when a man or woman becomes inspired, hallelujah. Oh, glory. God moves on their conscience, moves on their soul. And they become so deeply inspired until you take a little old quiet person, backward as they can be, like my daddy. If y'all ever knew my dad, he was 5 hours you could sit with a man. Every now and then you hear him go, "Yeah." But when he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost not far from here in Dayton down on Light Street, he was, amen, a smoker, a drunk. He flopped on the floor like a fish for 30 minutes to an hour, spoke in tongues so fast they couldn't keep up with him. And that was under the apostolic anointing. Amen. And then when he come to the message, it was even a greater anointing than that, of course. But I wish to God some people would have had just what little bit he had back in apostolic. Oh, I know what some people will say. Oh, he didn't get nothing back there. I wish to God some of us had a little bit of that. Amen. Because I guarantee it won't hurt you. The problem is people have become so lackluster when it comes to the things of God. We've got the Word boxed in such a perfect, neat little package. All the terminology is straight. All of the phrases we use is perfect. Everything, we got it laid out just so. And if you misquote that quote, even an ooh, children, somebody going to get you if you pull it. Brother come to me one time and said, I'll have you know the prophet said, And I said, did I miss an He said, yes. I said, thank God. I said, what did I say before that? He said, I don't know. I said, what did I say after? He said, I don't know. I said, thank God for that one You wouldn't have got nothing out of church. Praise the Lord. Amen. What is that? That old pharisaical thing. No inspiration. No passion. Amen. Let me ask you a question. And this is not a rebuke. This is just talking together about the things we're dealing with as Christians. But why are people so lacking this? Why do they miss this inspirational thing? Because whether we want to admit this or not, we have genuinely lost confidence in the power of God today. As Brother Bram told us that we have experiences, he said these things build up. And one experience after another can be such a detrimental thing to you that if you're not careful, you'll become cynical, critical, you'll start doubting. First time you start getting sick, you'll start doubting whether the Lord could heal you or not. We run to the medicine models and the doctor way young quicker than we try to trust the Lord. I'm guilty too. You are too. Why do we do that? Because we've lost that passion for God's care and love and concern for us. That He wants to heal us. That He wants to deliver us. That He wants to save us. Come on, don't get quiet on it. Man, I know you're tired. Pinch yourself and listen now. Jesus loves us so much that He wants to see us well the very moment we're sick. But we've lost that feeling because we know us. You know you. And in your mind, whether you'd say it out loud or not, you wonder, how could God even possibly love me? I know what kind of person I am. I know how awful I am. And I know what I've done and where I've been and how I've been. But you know, amazing, all of those things you know, that's only the little portion that you actually know. Wonder how much more we do on a daily basis that we don't know is wrong. Because David even prayed, Lord, forgive me of my presumptuous sins. Amen. Things, in other words, I don't know that I'm doing wrong. God still forgives me of all those things, Brother David, so He's got a whole lot more He can forgive me of beyond that. Not just the stuff you know, it's the things you don't know. But the inspiration of God will lead you to know that Jesus loves you so much that no matter what your background is, He always stands there with His arms open saying, come unto me. And I don't care what you've done or what you're doing, the love of God goes beyond all that you would ever fathom in your mind. He may have to correct us to straighten out. He might have to whip us to straighten us out. And He might have to love on us to straighten out. But He loves us enough to put us on some kind of pathway. Come on, somebody. He loves us. Are you listening to me tonight? He loves us so deeply. He's willing to do whatever it takes to put us on a pathway of recovery and deliverance and overcoming. Amen. 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 It's one of the many, many things that makes me love Him that much more every day. Is that He is not willing to let my foot slip. Thank God for it. Thank God. I said, thank God He's that way. How many times would I have absolutely went completely under? But that right hand of power. That right hand of mercy. Woo, does anybody know what I'm talking about?
That little something that comes, even though the Bible might say that a man that does that or a woman that does that, amen, you could throw the book at yourself. But somewhere out of the midnight hour, inspiration moves in that heart of yours. And you start hearing like a little feeling or something moves on you, and you hear the voice of God speaking to your heart. Come unto me that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. We've just not been confident enough of His love for us. You know why? Because message people have been taught He's a God of justice and He's a judge. He is all of that. But that is way yon on down the road. You have miles and miles and miles of love to wade through before you get to the judgment of God. Oh, you're getting quiet on me, which means I'm getting right down below that fifth rib where I need to be. Well, that's good. You just told on yourself, and so here we are. Amen. Absolutely right. But we've got this idea in our mind that God is a God of judgment. Do you realize the only reason He whips us is when our behavior demands Him to? Do you think God wants to go around beating on us all the time? He don't. It's only when my behavior forces His hand that He's got to deal with me. Oh, glory to God. Somebody help me. Help me, somebody. It's only when my behavior demands that He even moves His hand to whip me at all. When I'm stubborn and rebellious and I will not listen, He will deal with me as a father. But He will give you all kinds of long-suffering and grace and mercy, and look at the hand of God. You will do and do and do and do. And look at you sitting here tonight. Ain't none of y'all dead. Ain't none of y'all at death's door. You go back and just start writing down every little thing that's happened just this month that you know you've done wrong. And yet here you sit somehow. What does that tell us? How much He really loves us. How pale. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It shows, thank you, Lord, how patient and long-suffering He is with us. The Bible said 1,000 years of the Lord is like a day. What is that 1,000 years to an 80-year-old man? It's just a few moments of time. We will convict ourselves, be judge and jury. No good, sorry, rotten, good for nothing. And then if we're not careful, we'll put ourselves in that little spot of predestination because we know we've got guilt in our heart. So rather than confess it, make it right, and get deliverance over it, then we start trying to explain it away. Well, I'm predestined, therefore I'm sinless. You might be in your soul, brother, sister, but that body of yours still has to be accounted for. The deeds done in your flesh and in your spirit and your mind, they still have to be accounted for. Again, don't listen to me. Don't throw baby in bathwater out now. God wants us to be holy, not just in soul, but in body as well. Whew, don't worry, I'll be done soon, and then my buddy Brother Ojibasa can come make y'all happy again. Tell Tony I said hello, by the way. Amen. Now, watch again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. John said that if everything Jesus did were wrote in a book, the world could not contain the books that could be written. Well, why didn't they write it all down? Because some things are just better left to inspiration. Amen. It don't all have to be wrote down. As a matter of fact, one time God heals. That's all I need to see. Because if I see Him heal one time, that means He's the same yesterday and forever. He will always heal. Oh, glory. No matter what the conditions is, He'll always do it when that condition is met. And here we have in the Bible one example after another. Hundreds of examples of God's power, God's grace. You know what I think that's for? For a lot of us Thomases. We've got to put our hand in the scars, and we've got to get our hand in the side. So God says, all right, I know how some of you hard-headed boys are and how you hard-headed girls are, so I'll just make sure that the evidence is clear. But blessed are they that have seen and not heard, and not touched and not tasted and not handled. Blessed are they. Do you realize you young people like myself that was raised in a message church that had never seen Brother Branham, we're actually more blessed than the ones that walk with him? Amen. It's a greater blessing to us. Because to believe it and not see it for ourselves, Oh, my. What a greater thing. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's pick up Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I love this scripture right here. This should be absolutely the mantra. This should be the theme of every Christian's life. Romans 8 and 14. I'm going to give you some time to get it in your Bible because I want your eyes to look right at it. Romans 8 and 14. Do y'all flash them up here somewhere? No? Just okay, all right. Just looking to see. All right, Romans 8 and 14. Now watch carefully. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, brother, think of this. He didn't say as many as could memorize the quotes. As many as understood all the doctrines of the message. As many as understood God sent a prophet. But as many that are led by the Spirit of God. Do you understand this entire message came to us by leading of the Lord? It wasn't because Brother Bram studied all the time, because he did. But many times he told us, I go out in the woods and get up underneath a tree and sit there before daylight. He said, and wait on the Lord and meditate on the Lord. He said, come, 2 + 2 = 4. Faster, 2 + 2 = 4. Faster, 2 plus. He said, all of a sudden the Lord would open it up. He said, I'd take a pencil and a paper and write it down. I said, all right, Brother Neville, get them together. The Lord's give us a message from the Lord. It came by inspiration. He said, many of the things he got came to him by prayer. And is it any wonder that when the angel of the Lord met him in the tent vision, the thing that he told him in the little room about the third pool, he said, I'll meet you in that little room. And Brother Bram said, why there? He said, didn't Jesus say, when you enter into your prayer closet, what your Father sees in secret? I wonder, friends, if our definition of the third pool isn't a little tainted by our own carnal aspirations, by our own human inspirations of third pool. Because you see, a man is never going to be able to create squirrels or give people eternal life, give them their kids. Never going to be able to speak tumors out of existence if they don't have a prayer life. If they don't have communication with God. And you listen to me carefully, brother. You'll never commit adultery if you've got a prayer life. Sister, you'll never get out of your place if you've got a prayer life. Inspiration will always keep you right in line with God's Word and God's mind and His will. That is the power of the third pool. Is having that relationship where God can talk to you and you can talk to God. Oh, I know many preachers in the message have tried to dumb that down and make it as though the only person that could hear from God was maybe one certain preacher or a certain group or Brother Branham or something like that. But I got news for you. God can speak to any single one of us audibly any way He wants to. I've heard His voice. I've seen His pillar of fire. I felt the presence of His angels, and I am not ashamed to say that this gospel we are preaching is a gospel of inspired truth. Amen. 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 So if you're led by the Spirit of God, what's that make you? You know, one of the good hallmarks to whether you've really got it or not is this right here. Oh, I know. Now, listen, don't throw the quote at me. Believe the message. Believe the word. That's the sign. I know what Brother Bram said. I know what he said. I'm not contradicting what he said. But I am going to try to take you a little bit deeper than just that quote. Because the quote within itself is a good quote. I like that quote. Leave that quote right where it's at. Don't tear it apart and mess with it. Leave it as it is. Say what he said. Amen. But look behind those very words and realize that a person cannot call Jesus the Christ unless they receive the Holy Ghost. And there's no way that you can say the message is true if you can't be led by the Spirit of God. That's one reason some people have never been born again. Because when God leads them to understand you are a sinner, they refuse it. But in order to get saved, you've got to know you're a sinner first. Well, hallelujah. You ain't running out of amens now. You haven't hit your quota yet, have you? If I know that Jesus is dealing with my heart, and I am truly a sinner, no matter how long I've been in church, could be a preacher or whatever I am, if God's leading me, you need to get right. You're a sinner. Amen. If I am truly led by the Spirit of God, you know what's going to happen? Justification by faith. Amen. And if I lay with it, sanctification by the Spirit, and then a changing of my soul. Amen. And if I keep on following that, what's going to happen next? Changing of my thoughts, changing of my attitudes, changing of... Words, amen. Let me help you. Amen. 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 Oh, you were thinking about your own little changes. Oh, gotcha, gotcha. If I keep on following that inspiration, eventually it's going to change my body. Change everything about my home. If I want my home revolutionized, follow the Spirit of God and watch and see how the Lord can lead things in a direction that you're not even thinking is the right way. Do you understand what Brother Branham must have saw on his own tabernacle? When he went to open up those seven seals and preach like the angels of the Lord told him to go back, and he went to open up those books and open up all those channels of revelation and things. And of course, we know the Lord was dealing with him throughout the entire series of it. He said, that ball of fire hanging in that room out there, each angel every night coming with inspiration, the messengers of God coming in theophany form, speaking to Brother Brown, telling him what was underneath that seal. Imagine when he come to that seventh one, what that must have been. No wonder he told us, when you recognize the Word of God as eagle food, you have then been formed in the living image of the living God. You left that other thing you heard from your theophany. He could tell it because he had it. Amen. But who could he share that with? Who could he tell in the tabernacle? He said, I thought I would test this little church to see if they understood what was going on. He said, but that's what it's been, the visitation of the angels of the Lord. The people wasn't catching it. Why? They couldn't walk into the inspiration that he was walking in at the time. He told us in the visions preceding that, when he pulled off the top of the rock, he said, you brethren, look on that till I get back. Many of them, when he hollered, I'll ride this trail again, he said, but you're not riders. You're not allowed up here. Imagine this man preaching to people he knew didn't understand a word he was talking about. But you know why Brother Bram didn't throw his talent? Because he knew that later the inspiration would get every elected seed. Because he told us it's kind of far back now. He said, but it's got to catch itself up to here. I love to announce this. It's caught up. Now, maybe it ain't caught up to you yet, but it's sure caught up to me. It's caught up, all right. It's caught up to the elect. And we are now walking in the very inspiration that he wasn't able to convey to us back in the 60s. You say, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. Jesus said, there are many things I'd like to tell you disciples, but now is not the time. And it wasn't until after they went to Pentecost, till they received the Holy Ghost, until they was able to come out of the upper room, that then God began to reveal to them their sin, what was going on. Half the time, they didn't even understand Jesus. The prophet said, most of the time, they were trying to figure out, is that God? Is that man? Is that God? Is that man? They didn't have enough revelation to understand it. Peter sure kept messing that up. Jesus said, I've got to go be crucified, as the word said, as the prophet said, I've got to go away. Peter said, uh-uh. What you talking about? You going to be crucified? Uh-uh, Lord. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You know not what spirit you're of. You know not what spirit you're of. Why? They couldn't catch up to that revelation yet. There needed to be more time to let the foundation of it grow until it hit a spot to where the people would be able to walk into it. You need to have that kind of grace for you in your own life. Because you hear great, deep, mysterious things being preached from the platform, and you get so confused and so down-spirited and so downhearted. Oh, there's no way in the world that I can understand it. Just give it time and let it catch up.
That's right.
Amen. God will show you when it's time to show you.
Yes.
Because I have news for you. He don't give us revelation for bragging rights.
Oh, no.
Come on. Amen. Woo. Well, if I didn't get in trouble on that one, I got in trouble that one, didn't I? Huh? God don't give us revelation so we walk around and say, where are the elect? Where are the elite? Just because this church is on Superior Avenue doesn't mean you have to act superior. Right? The higher God takes us, the lower we should get. The humbler we should get. Down low, even lower when God gives us something. Because no matter what he shows us, it will come in his time, not ours.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now listen to this. In a message called Door on the Door, Brother Bram says, if I knocked at your door, you didn't come out and let me in, but just peep through the trellis. You look and say, oh, that's Preacher Branham. He said, I'll let him in some other time. You'd have an awful time getting me back again. He said, if I come to your door and you treated me that way, are you likewise? He said, but not our blessed Lord. He's so good that he said, I stand at the door and knock. He said, knock it, continuation. Not just pecking around, but knocking continually. Why do y'all reckon the Lord don't give up on us? Because he knows how stupid we are. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it the way I feel it. He knows how silly we can be. He knows how goofy we can be. He knows how stupid and ignorant we can be. He knows how ridiculously, amen, distracted by family things and training from a teacher and little experience. And he knows how that stuff just builds right here until we're nothing but just a little puddle of goo. God does everything to try to penetrate. And we're just, ooh. It is a miracle he don't choke me to death sometimes. You stupid kid, wake up. I've thrown everything at you trying to get you right. But not Jesus. He's patient. He just keeps on knocking. I wonder if the angels look over and say to him, hey, you've been at that door for a long time, you know. I've seen you leave a whole lot earlier with some people. Oh, but you see, this is a special case.
Amen.
How long you'll stay, Jesus? Until that boy or that girl understands, I am the best thing they'll ever answer.
Amen.
The pizza guy can come to your door, that's Ed McMahon with $1 million. Boy, am I showing my age or what? And answer the door to a lot of people, but this one is the one that will absolutely stay with you. Even when we peek through the trellis in our life and we see God's dealing with us in a certain situation and dealing with us in a certain way, we peek through the trellis and we go hide and flip all the lights off. Shush everybody in the house. Maybe he'll go away. Here he comes again. You think you've heard that sermon or that spot in the sermon or that little one-liner for the last time, and all of a sudden you'll be sitting in a restaurant and some TV preacher will come on. It'll be the very thing he quotes.
Amen.
You think you've escaped how God's dealing with your heart, and somebody will be talking on a plane behind you and talking about the very subject you're running from.
Amen.
What is that? Glory!
He's knocking.
Knocking. Knocking. Knocking. I know one of these days they're going to open up the door. What is he waiting for us to do? Become so inspired that we put aside fear, that we put aside our own thinking, to go over there with trembling hands and open up a door to Jesus and say, Lord, you know how much these things scare me. You know holiness scares people? You know what scares them? You know talking about how women should dress and how men should behave and how they should dress and act, that scares people. When a preacher starts preaching rules and regulations, that scares people to death because they've had so many hurts in their life from things like that. Some preacher abused them, or some person abused them. I think I told you this before, but many years in Oklahoma, there was a family that when their boy would get wayward, they'd set him down and make him listen to Brother Branham for 3 straight hours. You know what he done when he was 18 years old? He hit the door quicker than they could say happy birthday. Why? Because that's not the way to inspire our families. The message is not to be used as an abusive tool. If our children, our families, mothers, wives, whoever, if they're going to do anything at all, they need to see how we can be led ourselves.
Mm.
And here he stands at the door and knocks. I love this. In Luke 11:10, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. In John chapter 4, when Jesus visits the woman at the well, he said, go get your husband. He said, I don't have any. He said, you said the truth, the one you've got, and so forth. Our fathers drank from this well, and on, Jesus said, But whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. Did you ever stop to think? In our mind, we think one drink. But that ain't what Jesus said. He that drinketh. In other words, not just one drink. One baptism of the Holy Ghost don't solve all of your problems, people. Because even after you're born again, you still got a lot of stuff that you got to figure out. Because even though your soul might be converted, you still packing around this guy. Oh, my.
Amen.
Woo, that should have been a bigger amen than what it was.
Amen.
Right? You're still packing around your enemy. And whether you like it or not, my job is not to perfect him. My job is to bring him under submission, subjection. My job is to make him swing himself subject to the Word of God. That's why when this thing right here says, I'm too tired, I don't want to go to church, I say, shut your mouth, we're going to church. I'm too tired to pray. Shut up, we're going to pray anyway. Right? Because we don't need to let this thing have dominance over us. Think of this. Brother Branham said in the message inspiration, he said, tonight the Holy Ghost is a vindication that he's here and that his power is with the believer. Oh, if we could only recognize that inspiration that leads us to make in the crucial moment our decision according to the Word of God. Not according to what the neighbor says or what somebody else thinks, but he said what way that God is leading you. And you understand that's the way it is with some people. They will seek for inspiration from everyone else except from the Lord. And I guarantee if God's ever leading you on something, you'll all of a sudden out of nowhere have 48 opinions how you should do it a different way. And the devil's got smart in the last days. He don't just send one person along with an opinion, another person is kind of the same opinion. He'll send 32 people on Facebook, 25 on Instagram, 48 Twitters. And all them twits will be tweeting. And then I'll be telling you what to do and what not to do.
Amen.
Folks, sometimes people don't realize it, but they're absolutely led by the devil to do certain things. That's why before you give advice, you should pray. You should pray before you tell somebody how to handle their business. Talk to the Lord. Because God may lead you to choose a different pathway that doesn't make sense to anyone.
That's right.
I've seen it in families. Certain fathers, you know, they have kids, might be a little unruly and things like that. You know, and they get this opinion about themselves because maybe they're hard, disciplinary type men. Well, I'll beat that youngin' until he straightens out. She straightens out. And then you take another man, may have kids unruly just the same exact way, but he waits on the Lord to show him how to handle things. He doesn't always lower the hammer. Sometimes he shows a little grace here and to other people's opinions, a little bit too much grace. But if he's being led by the Lord, this marathon that this man is running is going to cause him to win in the end. Whereas that quick sprint from here to here is going to not be nothing but a disaster and a flaming disaster at that. But being led by the Lord doesn't mean you make snap judgments. Sometimes you got to wait on Him and wait on Him and wait on Him. Take one drink. And you don't get the answer, go back and drink again.
Yes.
Take another drink, it still ain't come, keep on drinking.
Amen.
Just keep on drinking and drinking and drinking until finally you hit a spot to where the Lord can reveal to you what's what.
Amen.
Now whether you know this or not, when a man or woman gets drunk on the Holy Ghost and they start losing their own natural abilities to consider and reason, and the best spot to hear from the Lord. And I don't know if you know this or not, Fairborn, but God wants a drunk church. I don't mean drunk on natural wine, but drunk on the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Inspiration to lose ourselves. People say to me sometimes, well, you know, where can I go to find about the message and what scriptures can I read to understand, Brother Branham? I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Cart before the horse. I said, I'll show you if you want to find the real inspiration behind what we believe. It's not on Google, and it's not necessarily in your Bible, although it is, but not directly. I said, the best place to find it is on your knees in prayer. Developing your relationship with the Lord so God can lead you.
Amen.
And in the meantime, you read your Bible, you study, You look and do everything you can and listen every, and you just stay right in it. But don't form an opinion until the Lord gives you one. Ooh, that didn't set well with some people. Oh, I know, that pinches a little bit, but you know what? We have too many opinions amongst ourselves. Don't form an opinion until the Lord gives it to you. You'd be a whole lot better off waiting on Him than forming your own ideas of it. We have too much of this, I think, and I feel, and I studied, and I've decided, you know, that probably what I need to do is convert into evangelistical ministry of divine healing. Set up tents, go out, invite a lot of people in, start laying my hands on folks for healing of eye disease. Although I don't mean E-Y-E, but I, capital I. People in this message are eat up with that selfish thing. I think, and I believe, and I, and my mama told me. You ain't going to get nowhere but gone until you forget about what you think and lay in the presence of God and say, now, Lord, inspire my heart to know what's right.
Mm.
Here's another nonsensical thing. Brother Branham, my wife has a devil. I've screamed at her, shouted at her. How do I deal with it? He said, go get her flowers and candy. Sister, forgive me for this, but if you get flowers and candy this week, you probably know where it's coming from. Anyhow. What a ridiculous thing! The woman's got a devil on her, and you want me to give her flowers and candy? But Brother Branham understood, there's more than one way to skin a cat. There's more than one way to deal with problems. Rebuke is not always the answer. Because sometimes when you're dealing with Spirit B, Spirit A will hide right behind it. The real culprit behind the matter, he'll hide back in there. He'll let you attack all them other little devils out there. He don't care about none of them know-how. He'll let you attack all the little foot soldiers out there, and he'll hide back in the tent while everybody's on the front line. And he'll sneak around. That's why I love to hear Brother Bram them prayer lines. He said, you can hide from the doctor, but you can't hide from God. Right? And when we have issues in our home, our life, or anything, if we would just go get in that third pool closet.
Amen.
And just wait on the Lord, how many things could He reveal to us that wouldn't even be wrote on paper? Handle it this way, handle it that way. I heard a story some time ago about, I think it was Sister Rebecca. When she was a little girl, she just so many little problems and things and nervousness and what more. And they were having all of these different issues and said they pulled by this field. There's all these beautiful, I think there were daisies if I remember the story correctly. Brother Bram had Sister Mead stop and he picked Sister Rebecca up and he walked out there in that field. Never said a word about it, but had him take a picture. And as the story goes, whatever healing that needed to come took place right out there among those flowers. And Brother Bram had the picture took as a memorial to remember what God did and how God moved at that very moment. That doesn't seem sensible. But inspiration leads us to do things that doesn't make sense. Whew, I have no idea why I'm going this way, but I can tell by the looks of your face, y'all do. Woo, that's right. Amen. Can I go a bit further?
Amen.
All right. The message called, Do You Not Believe? Brother Bram said, now some men don't see visions. Some goes by the inspiration of presentment.
Amen.
So God don't always give a man a vision or a visitation of the angel of the Lord. But sometimes God will allow a situation to unfold. And you can see all of the little green lights lining up. God presented right before you, and you know that's the answer. Sometimes the answer lay in the situation itself.
That's right.
And if you're spiritual, without even God saying a word, you just see the door opening. Like, okay, that's what I've been waiting on. Friends,
Amen.
If we had more faith in God like
Amen.
That, how many more things could God open up to us? But often because we are the kind of people we are under great days of revelation and great unfoldings and outpourings of the Holy Ghost, we get down, oh God, if you'll send me an angel, Lord, if you'll just speak from heaven, if lightning bolts will descend out of heaven. I've heard people determine their marriages based on praying and God showing them a 7 on a license plate. or taking the Bible and using it like a Ouija board. Now, Lord, if you'll answer me, I'll just open up whatever it is. Brother Branham told us not to do that. You know why he told us not to do that? Because we can wait on the Lord until God speaks to us. My God, somebody help me preach a little while.
Amen.
We can wait on the Lord. We've got the ability. We've got time. He's knocking, and he's not going away. But we approach situations like, if I don't act quickly, the Lord may leave me on this. He's got plenty of time. And he's not going to just jump into one thing and say, you better do it or else. But you may be dealing with a besetting sin that you might deal with for 20 years or longer. And it wears you out. Why can't I beat it? Why can't I overcome it? I mean minor things. I don't mean living in sin. But you fight it and fight it and fight it and wrestle it. And we get so frustrated. I might as well just quit. I might as well just give up. Why? What you in a hurry for? I remember some years ago, I had made a credit card bill. And it wasn't anything gigantic, but I was eager to get it paid off. I was praying one day, Brother David. I said, Lord, may you open up the windows of heaven and help me put this much on it and just tear that thing down until it's nothing. And the Lord spoke to me, Brother Nate, and said, what you in such a hurry for? Now, naturally, I'm thinking 30% interest rate, Lord. But if he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, that ain't nothing to him. And he can bless us in a way to where that those big things aren't so big. But we get so impatient. Oh, I got to get it now. I got to get it. Just wait on the Lord. Just be patient. Glory to God. For they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. God perfecting his church, he said, you got starch, you got away. He said, that's right, dear children, you. He said, not you, dear children, he said, but the pastors. He said, they begin to think more of theology and doctrines than they did of letting the Holy Spirit have its way. Brother Bam said this in December of 54. Here we are plumb up in September of 2024. And if the preachers were losing that kind of inspiration and the platform, what kind of mess do you think we're in now? That's what they call inspiration. It's actually emotion. Emotion is not inspiration. Because inspiration, true inspiration, can come and you not feel a thing.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to feel it to be inspired by it. Right? But many of the churches were going this route. Watch again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, he said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. Paul's saying, in other words, I rejoice that I didn't bring you what I thought, but I brought you through simplicity and godly sincerity, a conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today. If he was long-suffering in the days of Noah, if he's long-suffering in the days of Lot, if he's long-suffering in the days and days and days and days, what about today?
Come on, Lord.
He'll wait on us and just keep on knocking.
Thank you, Lord.
But what I do in the meantime, I don't know what to do. Just keep drinking. You drink, he knocks, everything works out. Amen.
Amen.
I love this right here. He said in demonology, he said, I come out of school about 25 years ago. That's a long time off, he said. I don't have much of an education. All I know is what I receive through inspiration.
Amen.
He said, but if it doesn't compare with the Bible, then that inspiration is wrong. Again, faith once delivered. I only speak by inspiration. And inspiration is fine when you find it here. He said, you grab it, hand it out. He says, over here, you reach and get it and hand it out. It might be the old-fashioned sassafras way, but it'll do you good if you keep it. It'll stick to your ribs and hold you. It saved me, and it will save you. What? Not just the word per se, but the word in divine inspiration will stick to your ribs. That's why, you know, years ago we used to hear these people, they'd brag about, oh, I listened to 42 tapes this week and I read 85 messages from Brother Branham. And praise God for that. I'm glad that there's men inspired, women inspired, people inspired to study. But that studying doesn't always bring inspiration like we think it does. God could give you one scripture, and that one scripture holds you and holds you and holds you and holds you. And if you'd like an example, I won't mention names or I won't replay the event tonight. I'll just quote the scripture. For when the Spirit of God raises up a standard, you'll be the mouth that speaks in judgment against them.
Amen.
You all heard that, no weapon formed shall prosper tonight?
Amen. Oh, Lord.
Some people say that's ridiculous.
Amen.
But when inspiration strikes your heart, let me show you how deep this goes before we quit. I see the time. When Brother Brown told us about perfect faith, you know what he said about it? It masters every circumstance. If it is in a room full of sickness, perfect faith just walks in and says, thus saith the Lord, and it's all over.
Amen.
Do you know how hard it is to become inspired for healing in a room full of sickness? I'll give you an example of what that might look like. You ever go into a restaurant and everybody around you that you meet has complained from the time you walked in the front door in the parking lot, not nearly, to the time you walk out, the waitress, waiter, everybody's got something negative to say. You know what ends up happening? Somehow or another, you get in the car, or sometimes many times before you get in the car, you've done stopped, picked up on that spirit, you're doing the same thing. Why would it be such a thing for that environment to be, what benefit is it for me just, I can't beat them, might as well join them. But then when you make an effort to be positive no matter what anybody's saying, and then you walk into the restaurant, you're in the parking lot, hello, hey, how are you? Hey, buddy, good to see you, man. Hey, I'm thinking, how you feel? I feel so good, I'd have to sit on my hands, keep from waving at everybody. I feel so good, take two of me to handle it. And they go, oh my God, what's the matter with that weirdo? It takes a certain level of inspiration to be able to walk into a completely contrary environment and be the opposite of what's around you. Think of the world we live in. This is what Paul and Brother Brennan both called this Satan's Eden. This is a day when Satan is being the worship person of today. We are living in a completely perfect Satan's Eden.
Amen.
Everything around us, sister, just look at the way the Bible asks you to do with your hair and your dress and all the other things to live godly and holy like a lady should. Now go out here on the street and go through Walmart and see how many's following that same inspiration.
Amen.
Brothers, God puts a standard on you.
Amen.
Look at how many of the men. Now we talk about the women, how odd they must feel with the women of the world today. But do you sisters understand what it's like for a man like me to go through Walmart with my family and all those people looking at me going, what's the matter with him? He must be one of them dictator type men that makes his women do certain things. We take the persecution just like you do, just on a different level. But to be able to go into an environment like that and stay faithful to the truth, it takes a whole lot more than learning quotes.
Amen.
It takes a whole lot more than to know where to find it in the Bible. Woo, come on, preach to me now. Come on, don't get quiet on me, preach to me.
Amen.
It takes more than just learning it.
Yeah.
You've got to be inspired. Because you'll have a expiration date on the other. You'll do okay for a little while. And then eventually that other influence will suck you in. And before you know it, you'll be in trouble yourself. So Brother Brown talked about a man marrying a woman and vice versa. He said if she's bad or he's bad or whatever it is, he said either a good woman will make that bad man good or vice versa. In order to live through it, you've got to be inspired by the Holy Ghost. Because in that kind of environment, sister, you would think if you had an unbelieving husband that Paul would have given you the advice to mash him in the mouth with thus saith the Lord every time he opens it. But you know what the Bible actually says? That your husband, your unbelieving husband, can be won just simply through your conversation. Seasoned with salt, seasoned with grace.
Amen.
Well, that doesn't make sense. I'm sure Dr. Phil wouldn't put this on one of his talk shows. He'd send you some kind of a psychological thing. But sister, that goes to show how powerful you women full of the Holy Ghost, that's how powerful some of you girls can be.
Amen.
Because all you have to do is just be that sweet, godly little thing that you are, and it'll win his heart.
Amen.
Well, you say with the word. Hold on. The Bible said without the word can win their husbands. Why? Inspiration.
Amen, Lord.
Now, my mom comes from that old school of the apostolics that if a man was an unbeliever, the woman was told don't even have love affairs with him. Shun him altogether. You know what Brother Bram said about that? Not to do that to that man. You drive him farther. And brother, that goes for you too. You don't shun your wife. You don't punish her by not showing her affection or spending time with her in a loving situation. You don't do that. But it doesn't make sense. It's a carnal thing. An evil thing. And yet Paul took time in Corinthians to address it. Wonder why Paul was so bold to talk about sex. And people in the message are too holy for it. And yet we wonder why we have so many affairs and adulteries and homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism and things right amongst the ranks of the people that we follow as Christian brothers and sisters. Why? Because we fail to follow the true inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Let every man have his own wife, every wife her own husband. To avoid fornication, which the word in Greek, adultery and fornication, is the exact same thing. Maybe the reason we have problems in our home is because we have forgotten how to be the great lover that you need to be to that woman.
Amen.
Or vice versa. Ooh, got quiet in here. Well, I just hope them people on the internet, them poor old folks out there, I hope they're hollering amen, because I'm not getting much in here, folks. You'll have to help me out there now. It seems ridiculous to be that way about it. But why would God deal with such a thing? Well, we're spiritual people. You know, I had a sister tell my wife and I one time that she said she was scared of such an environment like that because she thought the angels of the Lord would be watching them behind their bedroom door. She was genuine about it. She said, I don't know how to think. I said, sister, hold on a minute. I said, do you know that the Bible said that when Jesus had overcome the devil that the angels of God come to minister? I said, you know the Bible, when it says minister there, actually the original word means to be like a waiter or a waitress. I said, have you ever been sitting at a table and the waiter and the waitress comes by and they get your order and they bring you your drinks and then you start engaging in personal conversation? Do they just stand there and watch you and listen to what you got to say? Well, no. I said, neither will God allow the angels of the Lord to investigate or pay attention to personal matters that are none of their business. If he's a gentleman, the Lord Jesus, then the angels of God will follow suit the same exact way. But we've become so spiritual that something as simple as a father getting on the floor and playing Barbie dolls with his kids is too carnal. And wonder why our youngins grow up hating the very truth we possess.
Amen.
Lacking of inspiration. I'm getting ready to get in trouble. I know I am. But there's a big one I'm going to talk about for just a few minutes before we go home. And that's that little old word that most people hate, Christmas. Do you know how many lives have been destroyed in this message? How many people hate this message because of simple things like Christmas and a Christmas tree and getting presents? What do you reckon you're sharing with a 9-year-old? Going to school and hearing that every kid got some gift, but you were too holy to go to Big Lots and buy something. Or the Dollar Tree. Ooh, it's getting quiet. Ooh, Jesus, it's getting quiet in here, Lord. Y'all ain't made up an amen tape. They can hit play and amens will come. I may need it. We may need to get that done when you all are real high, you know what I mean? And like on the mountain, amen to pray. We'll just record it, and then that way, you know, you just hit play and it'll be there. You say that's not spiritual. Hold on. Do you all believe Paul was a spiritual man? Let's take his letter, the book of Ephesians. First chapter, he deals with being in heavenly places, predestination, the foreknowledge of God, and the seal on your soul. Just open up chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And he spends the rest of the time talking about your everyday life. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, obey and love children and so forth. Why was that important? Because the things we need to be inspired by are not just great revelations about the opening of the Word. Listen, I'm an open Word believer. I'm a third pole believer. I believe the thunders have sounded. I believe the seven seals are open. I believe all seven seals are open. I'm not waiting on Brother Branham to come back and finish anything. It's already been done for us. I believe that we're at the capstone time. I believe we're at the adoption time. I believe all those things. But what good is that going to do you when you've got a daughter or a son that hates the truth you believe? Because the only thing you've ever presented is just the doctrine side of it. And you know what we should do? If we've hurt our friends and our family and our children like that, we should go back to them after tonight and repent. Forgive me for leading you and setting that kind of example before you. The Lord has shown me more light. And I want to tell you what the real truth of the matter is, what I should have done, how I should have behaved. Oh, but I know how some people are. That's compromise. Yeah, I know. And your pride is going to take you to hell too.
Amen.
Because Christians aren't afraid to lower themselves.
Amen.
Or belittle themselves. Come on, don't you get quiet on me. No, sir, they're not afraid to get out and say, I'm sorry. I did it wrong and I repent. I love this. Brother Bram says, he said, the thing of it is, friends, the human mind today, without the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, don't know what compassion means. Neither do you know what love means.
Amen.
Jesus walks in, kicks the tables over, starts whipping people, beating on them. Now, if that had been you, the days of Facebook and social media, and there's Jesus all over Facebook and Instagram, the rest of these things, beating people up. How many of you would have been on there scrolling down there and putting your little comment, that's my pastor. Woo, that's my pastor. That guy, see that one slapping that dude in the head right there? That's the man of God for me. That's my shepherd. Such a man full of compassion, and then looked on him with anger. But without inspiration, it's hard to know how to discern those things.
That's right.
Last thing, and we're going home. Paul said, only the carnal mind can discern carnal things. He said, but when you become spiritual, you compare spiritual things with spiritual.
That's right. Oh, yes.
And when we are too spiritual, that we're so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, friends, is it any wonder people look at us from the outside and go, what's wrong with that bunch? What's wrong with them? You know, we had people through the years, you know, I've been exposed to this stuff myself. People are just, you're going to go play golf? You're going to go down, you're going to go hit a little ball? Well, so what? Is it going to send me to hell to play golf? Hope to God not, because I'm going to wind up in a big fiery pit if I do that. Forgive me. We've become so stooped in this idea that to be inspired by God means we have to be that Charlton Heston, Moses, Hollywood figure with our hair blowing in the wind, opening Red Seas. When true inspiration could be something as simple as this. Brother Branham said, God heals by love. He said, love will smooth over an old grudge that's been there for years and years. You know how many people in our churches in the state of Ohio, just in our state alone, you know how many of them are probably sitting around here in this neighborhood and miles away from us that used to come here years ago, but got some little thing in their heart, and here they are 40 and 50 years later, some of them, and they still got that thing laying in them. Why? Because they have lost true inspiration of God. Because let me tell you something. If you're truly inspired with why you're here and the whole purpose of being here, there's not enough devils in hell to run you out of a church house. Amen and amen. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. I need you for a little bit. There's not enough problems. There's not enough things to happen to run you out of there if you're truly inspired by God. This true inspiration will cause you to ride over top of every bit of that. And say, I'm coming to church anyhow. Like some sister one morning was coming into the room trying to wake the brother up and said, hey, time for church. What are you sleeping in for? I go into that church. Why not? I don't like the people and the people don't like me. Come on, get up. Just come on to church. It'll be all right. Come on. No, I'm not doing it. I don't like the people and the people don't like me. Give me one good reason I should go to that church. She said, first of all, you're the pastor. It doesn't mean humanly we won't have moments where we're kind of like, oh, I just need to unplug. But if you're truly inspired, you stay where God puts you. And you stay faithful to what God does.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
In my commission, Brother Bram says, I'm just your brother by the grace of God. When the angel of the Lord moves down, it becomes a voice of God to you. He said, oh, if I offended you by saying that, forgive me. Because I felt that might have been resented. But I am God's voice to you. See, I say that again. That time was under inspiration, he said. The first time I felt bad about it, but it repeated it.
Amen.
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 And we can do the same thing. Sometimes we can say, I'm a child of God. But let the inspiration do the speaking. Because what I need it is not when I feel good, like I feel like I'm a child of God, like I'm doing okay, I've been a good boy this week. But what I need it is if I've blundered, if I've messed up, got discouraged, if I've been weak in the world, whatever I've done, that's when I need that inspiration to speak when I don't feel saying it.
Amen.
And let it speak it. Glory to God.
Amen.
I am a son of God.
Right. Oh, that's right.
That's the way I believe it happened with Job, you know. Because you listen at his statement. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, I'll see God. What an amazing thing to say. How can your body be full of skin worms and dead if your body's going to be seeing God? The inspiration of the Lord let him know, I may go to the grave, but I ain't staying in it. And that's the way I hope the Lord does it with me, with the rapture of my body. I've been waiting my entire life to be able to look the devil in the eye one day and say, now you see me, now you don't. If we could just get in that channel, what Brother Bam called the super anointing. But you're only going to get there if you stay inspired. The minute you lose that feeling, and it is a feeling, or you say it's not, it is. Brother Bam said, I fell in that complex, and he said, I had to go out there and pray until I got the feeling of the people again. If you lose that feeling of compassion, that passion, that drive, that inspiration that presses you, yes, it is a feeling. And sometimes we can get so cold on that feeling until everything becomes dead and numb around us. You ever done that? You ever read your Bible and got nothing out of it? Just read it. Read the Bible. Next. If you do that and you don't feel any inspiration about it, don't go back and read it and read it and read it again. Stop and ask yourself, what's going on in here? Have I taken something in me? some little bitterness, some little thing. If I let some little spirit of doubt enter into my heart somehow, now, help me, Lord, to cleanse that out of there so I can stay on fire for you, because there's nothing that makes God sick more than a lukewarm Christian. Do you know the Bible said he'd rather you be a total stone-cold sinner than to be lukewarm? God actually respects people if they just have enough gumption just to leave the church if they're going to live right. He respects them more for it than live a lie, live halfway in between, or to manufacture something. The only reason we'd manufacture is if we've lost our inspiration. So Lord, help me. Help me, God, to remain inspired. Now I'm speaking to some of you Christians that have been saved a long, long, long time. You know how it goes. The longer you serve the Lord, sometimes that newness, that feeling, that refreshing, that revival, sometimes it can slip away pretty quickly, can't it? Can't it? Some of you older believers, you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes you just feel that thing kind of just lift off you and you kind of get into a mode. Just, this is how I do it and this is the right thing to do and I'm just in that mode. It's kind of the thing that he talked about with Paul Rader. When him and his wife would say goodbye to one another, he said they would kiss each other at the door and she'd wave at him, he'd wave at her, and he'd go around the corner. And remember what happened that time they got in a fight? I know, Christian's husband and wife having a fight. I know it's almost like a Disney fairy tale. I know. They got in a big fuss. He kissed her, got in the car, waved at her, she waved at him. He took off. He got around the corner and conviction struck his heart. What if I lost her today? What if I died? What if he turned the car around, comes screeching in the driveway, and she's behind the door crying. He repented to her, and he reached over and he grabbed her, and he kissed her, got in the car. She waved at him, and he waved at her and said everything was all right. Why? Because the second time, there was feeling behind what they were doing. Now, friends, don't think me crazy, but just look around our churches. Look in here tonight. Listen, I'm not calling anybody out, but I'm saying, when's the last time people have genuinely been inspired like they used to? Like you used to. You look back in your own life and you can see that what you used to be, it just diminishes, diminishes, diminishes. And you know what you do? You settle for a status quo. God don't want you living that way. I would that you'd be cold or hot. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. God help us not to lose our inspiration. Let's stand again. Well, it's done now. Just like this songbook up here. We sing songs over and over and over again. We know them. We memorize them. We know how to play them. We know how to sing them. We know how to clap our hands to them or something like that. But when these things were first wrote, they were wrote by divine inspiration. Somebody went through something. They experienced something. They put it down. They picked up their pen. They put it down on paper. And we've enjoyed inspiration and music for years and years and years and years. But then we sing the same song. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. So we know the words. We know the tune. We kind of just get into the singing of it. But we don't stop to think. For he's been faithful my whole life. Every day that I live, every moment I live, he's been so, so good. I've known him as a father. I've known him as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. A song is just a song if it loses its inspiration. A sermon is just a sermon if it loses its inspiration. Your amens are just amens if they lose their inspiration. But if we can just fall back in love with the Lord in that way. Say, God, tonight, I'm asking you as a result of this sermon that Brother Ben's preached to me, I'm asking you tonight, Lord, renew my inspiration. Renew that feeling of inspiration in my heart that I can be inspired as I used to be. That I can feel the moving and the passion and the fire and the heat of the Holy Spirit that inspires me to pray, to love and to feel. Because I know what we're going to say. Oh, it ain't on feelings, Brother Ben, until you get sick. And then it's amazing how much feelings are at the forefront. Until somebody hurts your feelings. If somebody offends you and you're madder than a hornet, you don't walk. Oh, it's not by feelings, it's by the word. You know what you say when ain't nobody looking, or if they're looking, some people are that bold. I'll rip his goozle out. That serpent seed, that devil, I'll tell you one thing. So everything we do, there's an amount of feeling that goes with it. If you ever lose that for your wife or husband, ever lose that for your kids, you'll never make the grade. Lose that for God, the church will fall apart. Lose that for your pastor, he won't be able to preach to you. Lose that for these brothers, and these brothers lose that for you, you'll never, it'll just be a protractive service where everybody follows the program, but nobody's really getting anywhere. Ask yourself, Fairborn, when's the last time you genuinely felt inspired like you did when you first met Jesus? If you look at your heart tonight and you can see that's different, then you understand why God led me to preach what I'm preaching.
Amen, brother. Amen. Oh, amen.
So what do I do about it? Repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for whatever I let get between me and you. If you'll help me and show mercy to me, then, Lord, I know I can do the right, because I still hear you knocking. I can still hear you standing there. Now, I may have been guilty, Lord, just peeping through the blinds, but if you'll help me, I'll come answer the door. Though my hand be shaking, though I be scared, though I be fearful of what tomorrow is. But if you'll help me, I'll let you do what you got to do for me. Let's bow our heads together. Now, with those words said, and your heads bowed before the Lord, if it's you I'm talking to, or should I say if it's the Lord dealing with your heart, why don't you tell him while you're standing there, Lord Jesus, you see that loss in my heart. You see that I've lost the passion that I used to have for reading the Bible. I've lost that feeling talking about the Word, being quick to forgive, quick to repent. Lord, I've allowed myself to get caught in this lull of Laodicea until I don't even have that same passion about even coming to church like I used to. Nobody knows it. But Lord, I go through the motions and I put on the religious side. Everybody thinks I'm on fire, but really in my heart, Lord, you know I'm not. But you just tell him in your own way, whatever your situation is, Lord Jesus, help me, forgive me, cleanse me, make me right where I can serve you in the fullness of your Spirit. And Lord Jesus, as I bow my head, I'm asking the same thing for myself that I'm asking these people to ask for them. For Lord Jesus, no matter how long I've served you or how long I've preached or what I've done for you in the kingdom of God and services I've tried to render to your people, doesn't matter, Lord, if I'm a preacher or if I'm just a doormat in the house of God. I don't want just my efforts to just be efforts blankly, blindly, just done for service sake. But Lord, I want to be passionate, on fire for you and in love with you. And when I wake up, you're the first thing on my mind. And when I go to sleep, you're the last thing on my mind. Lord, help us to renew that feeling in our hearts. And Lord, you wouldn't have led me to preach it this way tonight. Lord, if there wasn't people here that needed to hear it, you wouldn't have led me to speak it this way. Because, Father, you know I tried to go different ways and get out of this, but Lord, you just kept leading me right back to this channel. I thank you for it, Lord. Because, Lord, that's your love, your care. That shows that you care for this little body of people and you want them to know what's right. And so you've allowed me to come and share that little part of right from my ministry and from my working. They've got Brother Nate, Brother Jeremiah, and these different brethren that share their part of it. They've heard it again from Brother Childers and different men that have come through here for many, 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 many years. And Lord, they've heard it again from this little part that I'm putting in. But Lord, maybe it's not penetrated like it needs to. Let tonight be the night, I pray, that finally, Lord, they'll just go over to the door and open it up and let you into those places that they're so fearful of. And may you erase all of the hurt and the ills and the wills and the whatevers and give them peace in their heart. to know that you're not a God that's going to judge them or bring justice upon them, but you're wanting to heal them, to save them, deliver them from such attitudes and feelings. And that you're wanting them to be ignited with the fires of God, to be passionate for the word and truth. Grant it for each one of them, Lord, myself included. I don't want to be left out, Lord. I need it. Sometimes the service of God can become very monotonous, Lord, and we go through routines and repeat things. But I don't want to preach out of routine. I don't want to preach and just say the same things to different churches all over the place and say the same thing again and again. It'd be some kind of just statement to repeat. I want it to be inspired, Lord, that when it's said to the people that they can feel behind it love and grace and mercy and a touch of the Holy Ghost. That's what your word meant when it said, let our conversation be seasoned with salt, Lord. For if the salt loses its savor, what good is it? Help us, Lord Jesus, please. Help this little body here and online, Lord, those that will stream the service. May you just go out amongst the airwaves out there, Lord. May you just deal with every heart present and those that will come in later or maybe sitting in their home at this very moment, perhaps. May the Holy Spirit, I pray, bring your love and guidance to each of us. We love you so much, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus Christ's name. And all the saints said, amen. Now, do this with me. Raise your hands up to the Lord like this. Now just say, Father, I receive it. I receive it, Lord. I'm believing that you've answered my prayer. I'm believing that you've heard me, Lord. From today on, I want to be even more different than I've already been. You've brought lots of changes through the ministries and those that have preached to me and led me. But, Lord, I want to go even further tonight than what I've gone before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your hands up. Just say, Lord, I'm surrendering now. I'm just surrendering. Whatever you do with me. If I need to go repent, I need to make something right, I need to change something or take something out of my life or add something to it, whatever it is, Lord, I'm just telling you right now, Father, I'm making my commitment to you right here. I want to be different from today on, Lord. Move in a different direction than what I've been moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just worship him just a moment now all together? Just worship him now, just in this solemn, sweet atmosphere. Let's just worship him right now. Just say, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Inspire us tonight, God. Bring us true inspiration into our hearts, Lord. Whatever we have need of, inspire us to be the kind of men and women we need to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. We love you so much, Lord. We love you so much, Lord Jesus. How great you are, Lord. How great you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Bless his holy name. You love him, friends? Any good to us? Did you enjoy this tonight? I appreciate that. I hope it helped you. I hope it benefited you. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Nate, but I hate to go. I wish we could just stay like this all night long. Just tag out and tag another one in and just start all over again. Go the rest of the night. Don't you just love these times like this? One of these days, this will all be a fond thing. We look back as a rear view mirror kind of a deal. But we're moving on by God's grace. So we love you. Pray for us again. And hold us up before the Lord. And God willing, we'll come see you again sometime. God bless you, my friend. Come take the service. We love you, Pastor. Sir. Oh, gold plated, silver and gold have I not.
Get that off for you.
Sure.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. I appreciate you coming, brother. You know, I was thinking while he was ministering, I said, inspiration, I don't know where that book is. might find one of those songbooks. Oh, it's over here. Inspiration, a lot of times people think it's just for the preacher. Not in this day. It's for the entire body. I need to be inspired as a minister. You need to be inspired as a laity. And we all need to be inspired as a church. Because it takes all of that to make it all work together. All of it. Takes all of us. Takes the whole entire body. And it's not just on the preachers. A lot of people try to put it on a preacher like it's their job. It's not our job. You should be inspired when you come. And when you come to church, you should be inspired. And when the minister come and he's inspired and the song leaders are inspired and the congregation's inspired, how can you not have church? How can you not have church? Come on, musicians. How can you not have church? And nobody's depending on anybody to pump you up. Now, there was a time that you had to have somebody pump you up, and then you get them pumped up, then they'll give back. But now, it's the hour that we're living in, and the word that we have now, we should all be inspired. And the inspiration should change you. That's what's going to change you. The inspiration is going to change you. It's not going to be because I'm going to dictate to you what you can and can't say or what you can and can't do. Not now, not in this hour. You're going to be inspired because of God that's in you. The Spirit and the bride say come. The bride body is inspired. And that's going to make us do what we do. And I won't have to drag you in here and try to make you have church and try to pump you up and make you serve God and follow you home and make sure you're doing what... No. That inspiration comes from within. You're inspired from the inside out. And that's why a preacher can't, when he's inspired, you know, a preacher get up here, and if he gets up here and does a study at home and he comes in, just reads you his notes and just preaches what he's studied at home, he won't be inspired and neither will you. But when a preacher studies to show himself approved, all he's doing is getting himself in a position that he can be inspired by God. And so when he gets behind the pulpit, that's why I don't put on my sign what I'm going to preach next Sunday. I don't know what I'm going to preach till after it's done. Because it's not about my studies. It's not about Brother Ben's studies. You get your notes together, but I guarantee you, if you look at his notes, it ain't nothing like what he preached. Because you preach by inspiration. And you receive by inspiration. You don't come in here with a preconceived idea of what you're going to take home when church is over with. You don't have a clue. But now you do. Now you look and say, Lord, I want to be more inspired. I want to come inspired. I want to live inspired. And it's not just Sunday and Wednesday. You should be inspired every day. Like I said, wake up in the morning. First thing you think about, Lord, what do you have in store for me for today? Inspire me to do what I need to do today. Who am I going to meet? Who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to show Christ to? Because that's who you are. You're the inspired Word of God. And that's what people are reading. They're going to read you. They're not going to read the Bible. Matter of fact, they read the Bible, they're going to misinterpret it. You can't misinterpret me. When you see me, you see the Father. But if you read the Bible and you see the sons will have the heart turned back to the Father, you wouldn't think that was me. Or you look over there, Luke 17:30, as the day of the Son of Man, you won't look at me. Or you look it over at Revelation 10:8-11, say you're going to take the book, eat it, and prophesy again. They won't look at me when they read that. But if you see me standing before you, fulfilling it right in front of your eyes, that's inspiration. And the bride in the hour that we're living in is inspired. So come and express what you are. I keep falling in love with him. That's what happens every service. Over and over and over again. You said, well, you hear something every service. Every service I fall deeper in love with him. You know, it doesn't get old to me. I love it. I love it. And I love it because it's changing me. It's not a big show for me. I'm not a big shower. I don't come here and try to put on in front of Brother Ben and say, "Oh, well, I'm real inspired." No, no. All he's got to do is talk to me for a little bit. All he's got to do is look at me for a little bit. All he's got to do is preach to me for a little bit, and he'll know I'm inspired. But every time I hear the word, I get falling in love with him over and over and over again. That's what keeps him coming back. I don't just love him one time and then go home. I go home and I think about, wonder what he's going to do next service. Wonder, I think I'll come and come early so I can get all this junk of the world off of me, so I can get inspired, so I can testify, so I can sing, so I can edify the body, so I can bring something back to the table and bring it back to God. That's inspiration. That's why last Sunday I could only preach one scripture reading and never got anywhere else. That was inspiration. But I fall in love with him every time I come here. That's why I take notes. That's why I listen. That's why I pay attention. That's why I say amen. It's changing me every service. Now, I'll come back next service, but I'll be different. You know why? Because the word's changed me today. And when I come back Sunday, it's going to change me again. And that's called walking. And we're going to walk ourselves right on. He's going to change us until he changes our natural bodies. And until then, we're going to keep eating, keep changing, keep adjusting our thinking. Laying our thinking down, picking up his word. Laying our thinking down, picking up his word. Eventually, we'll lay our thinking down about having to be stuck in this body. And we're going to pick up his promised word, changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. That's going to be done by inspiration. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. I keep falling in love over and over and over and over. Oh, he gets sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.